Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandomexus. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, tonight, we have the finale of Fear the Walking Dead, Van Helsing, and the finale, the two-part finale, two-hour episode of Manifest, which hopefully is only a season finale and not a series finale, considering NBC once again canceled a sci-fi show that was good. And let me bring one of my lovely co-hosts in. Good evening.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'd be better if NBC wasn't a bunch of idiots.
It just defies belief.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. I don't know. I think that episode had, like, shorter commercials. It must have, because granted, I might have added a little wrong, but I should have got pretty close to finishing Manifest, and I had, like, probably a good 40 minutes left, so something went wrong. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't finish Manifest?
It sucks. No, I did not, because we lost TV for probably an hour. I spent the whole time trying to reset it, and by the time I got it, it was kind of like, you know, it was a little late.
I'm going to make a suggestion. When we get to Manifest, Jamie can tell us what she thought about what she saw, and then she should sign off before Karen and I talk.
Yeah.
Because
we don't want to spoil you.
I plan to do that. That's fine. Because I really thought I'd finish it. I tried, but I didn't. So.
Yeah. All right. Well,
okay,
I mean, okay, so let's jump into some other stuff first then. You want to talk about Fear the Walking Dead? As we usually do first?
Yep.
I'm so frustrated.
There's so many problems with this. So many problems.
There were, like, two good things about this episode. One of which is I give them credit, I guess, for actually while I think the whole nuclear submarine plot was stupid, I give them credit for actually having the bombs go off. Like, I think we all thought, because this show sucks, I kept thinking Morgan was just, you know how Morgan was, like, randomly pressing buttons inside the submarine hoping to do something? And I was like, oh, you know what's going to happen? He's going to randomly press some, like, some
what it sucks of all
kill
back.
Switch, right? And somehow, like, they don't go off or whatever. Or maybe because they've been sitting around, like, I know a nuclear bomb can't become a dud, but maybe they became duds, right?
You know, or like we said, maybe the CRM would shoot them down, something.
Yeah. That was my prediction last week. So I guess I give them credit for following through and not, like, bait and switching us, and at the last minute the bombs don't go off, because I would have complained about that also.
Right.
So I'll give them some credit for that. And
what I don't
get
credit for is not hiring somebody who knows science, because, like, everything else in the episode was just stupid.
Well, you know, and you know what? I actually, like, did some Googling about, like, how to survive a nuclear missile and stuff, so I could, like...
Okay, so tell me, how easy is it to survive a missile?
Well, it's not that, I mean, yeah, you can survive it depending on how close you are, but I really believe that Victor should have been blinded by looking at it. Victor and that guy Howard, like, watched the bomb explode, right? And then the mushroom cloud comes up. So, I mean, because nuclear missiles are designed to go off above ground, there's maybe less devastation than, like, say, a bomb that hit the ground. Or a bomb that was set up at ground level or something like, you know, or like if Chernobyl had, like, fallen exploded. But you have to be, like, pretty far away to not get killed okay, so what happened to Dakota? Dakota must have been pretty close, right? But it's the heat that kills her. Like, the heat is the big thing. So nobody except Dakota. I mean, so one of the most annoying things about this is that all the good guys lived, all the bad guys died, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's so simplistic. But if the heat didn't vaporize, like, how were Morgan and Grace hid
under
a truck.
In the blast range.
Right? Yeah, they're obviously in the blast range because the zombie was on fire. That zombie was on fire, right?
Yeah. So, okay, it's bad enough. They somehow... I just wanted to say I was mad she let the dog go because I don't understand the concept of this is going to happen and she lets the dog run away to go get killed. That pissed me off more than anything. But if they can hide underneath a truck and they somehow survive this blast from a nuclear bomb, that dog lived too. That's all because the fact that all they did was like jumped underneath there. And I mean, obviously they were in the blast range because you're right. The walker caught on fire. There's no way they survived that. And, I mean, it was bad enough. I thought that they were doing the whole murder-suicide thing, and I'm thinking this is so stupid, so I'm not sure which was worse. But the thing that irritated me even more than that was the stupid-ass mother walker, instead of a mother effer mother walker.
From
the beginning of the episode, where it's like, I got a broken leg, I can't save my baby, so somehow if I turn into a walker, I'll walk my way right back to where I live. Like, first of all, walkers don't know location. It wouldn't make sense
that it would take her back to
camp.
That's why she tied herself to the dog, because the dog was going to save.
Oh, that
was
the dog?
Yeah. That's
okay,
why she tied herself to... Yeah, she actually... I have other problems with that scene, but she does actually... Maybe you missed it, but she says, okay, Rufus, you're good at finding people. Go find someone.
Okay.
And she ties herself to the dog and kills herself. Yeah. It's so dumb.
The fact that somehow she didn't, like... I mean, zombies are stupid, but wouldn't it have been smart enough to rip the material out of its mouth and probably would have killed the dog and the baby, which is a whole other issue. But regardless of that, I think that it's pretty stupid that the dog pulled her all the way back home. However many miles they had to walk, somehow it walked her back. But
it was 3 miles.
One of the small problems with this.
Well, that wasn't home. It didn't walk her home, for starters. I mean, it walked her to the submarine, which the dog has no reason to know that Morgan is at the submarine.
Right. Yeah.
It
knows that Morgan survives everything, right? So the dog I'm going to find Morgan, and that's why the dog survives.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. There just were so many problems. I was just going to say, at least Dwight and Sharon, Sherry, as much as I don't believe anybody could have survived the blast, at least they were underground. Like, at least that made sense.
Yeah,
not a lot of sense.
So,
So
from my limited Googling on how to survive a nuclear missile, it is imperative to get indoors and underground is best. If you can't get into like a real bunker, underground is best. If we want to organize our conversation a little bit, maybe, and take it in. So this episode was defined by every single person being separated, right? I actually watched Talking Dead, which is the only show that's worse than Fear the Walking Dead is Talking Dead. And I was really surprised to learn, I thought the end season was forced on them because of COVID, but the showrunners said that. You saw that? The showrunners said that they actually.
No, said it wasn't.
The showrunners said they actually had chosen. Well, as Chris, that woman said it, the woman you interviewed said it in the interview also, they had actually chosen the anthology approach before the season began. And
they had sort of said that before, but I guess I misunderstood it. I thought that they it was the way they were going to start it, and then they kind of had to do it that way. I guess I misunderstood that when they said it before, or maybe I just thought they said that. I don't know, but go ahead. Sorry.
On The Talking Dead, they also said they love it and they will continue with it for next season. They love the anthology approach. They thought it worked great and they're going to keep it up next year.
See, I don't. I'd rather the groups be together. I get so annoyed when they flip back and forth. I mean, it's one thing if it's maybe like two groups, but when everybody's separated, I mean, doesn't that annoy you? That annoys me after a while. It's like... there's good things to be gained from it. Don't get me wrong. We have gotten some good like character, you know, stories when they've done that. And we kind of talked how we did that for those few Walking Dead episodes. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But more times than not, when the cast is split up like six ways, you get like one episode per, you know, duo. That to me is just, I'd rather see them together. I don't know. I don't agree.
Well, so it particularly annoys me right? When the entire like season is about let's rescue everyone so we can all be together, and let's build Morgantown where we can all be together, and let's build a town and let's build a community, and then the whole thing ends with nobody being together. It also is an approach that allows a character like Alicia and an actress like Alicia Debnam Carey to be completely marginalized and not even a part of the season, almost, you know. But I mean, as long as they did it that way, maybe we can talk about them a little bit one by one. And let's start with how hard it was. So, I mean, let's start with that opening season with Rachel killing herself to save the baby. One of the worst things about that was that I didn't even have any idea who this woman was, because Rachel is like barely more than a red shirt who was in
You told me. I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told
me. No, and I would have known, except I heard her call the baby Morgan, and then I remembered that she had this baby and named it Morgan. She was in the first couple of episodes when Morgan met up with her husband and discovered the little place he was building behind the dam, but she was in, like, maybe
You mean the one that the guy helped save him? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Okay,
The husband saved Morgan and then brought him back, and the wife was pregnant, and then the husband died, and the woman named the baby Morgan.
Yeah, okay, I do remember that.
Or maybe not in that order. Maybe the baby was born first, and they named it Morgan, and then he got, like, bit or something. Sure, right? So she's in two episodes, like, I mean, it feels like it was a million years ago. And then she's never seen again. And so the showrunners have talked about how they wanted the scene to show, like, how a mother would do anything to save her baby. But it doesn't resonate with me because she's a red shirt, right? Like, it wasn't anybody, like, do I care if she dies? She also, like, I don't understand.
I still feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but did you not feel like maybe not killing yourself would be a better way to get the baby to survive? Because, it's so crazy to think that the dog could pull them 3 miles to get them back. And I guess you're right. Maybe it didn't go back to the camp, so maybe it wasn't 3 miles. But still, I don't know. Well, turning yourself into a zombie with a baby on your back does not sound like the smartest idea to me. But, you know, I'm not a mother, so ask AJ. Maybe.
No.
Would you do that?
It was largely, I mean, the whole scenario was a terrible setup, because why is she out there by herself? Like, she's from a town. She's from Morgantown. And if she didn't go to...
has a little baby, yeah.
If she didn't go to the submarine, then why didn't she stay at home? Like, why is she on the road by herself with a baby? These people have survived, like, 6 years in the apocalypse. These should be, we say this every week, these should be the most hardened, skilled people who are still alive now.
Mm-hmm.
And she... she doesn't know how to change a tire. Like. Also, if a nuclear bomb is going to go off in 20 minutes, do you stop to change the tire or do you just run? Right? Like,
you just
like.
I mean,
she stopped to change the tire.
Was also saying, you know, be with the ones you love, not stop to change a tire and waste time.
Well, I mean, that was bullshit. Also, I'm sorry. If a nuclear bomb is coming, I'm trying to figure out how to get safe and not make sure I find some pretzels in my last 5 minutes on Earth. So, also, I mean, how obvious was it that truck was going to fall on her? She's like, how come she couldn't get the tire off? I'm like, did you unscrew it? Like, what's going on? How can you not? And the minute it takes you more than 90 seconds to change that tire, you should be like, oh, shit, the nuke is coming. I need to just run, right? I need to just, like, I don't know. Then she breaks her leg, and it's a completely gruesome injury, right? And yet she somehow she manages to make her own splint, and she's hobbling and the bone is sticking out of her skin, right? Like, I broke my ankle last year, and there's no way I could have walked. And it was not anywhere near the type of injury she had, right?
Yeah,
and there's no way I could have stood up immediately and walked on that ankle. So she had a radio. And she wasn't even barely bleeding from that gruesome, I think she wasn't about to die. I think she was going to, I mean, she could have lived for quite a while. Why didn't she get on the radio and, like, try to, I don't know. To kill yourself, it does seem like you're confining the baby to death. And you're taking this huge chance that your zombie self won't kill the dog, won't kill the baby, that other zombies won't come. Like, well, as soon as that baby started crying, wouldn't, like, 20 zombies show up?
Yep.
It was a quiet baby, I guess.
It all made no sense. And also, like, so she gagged herself, which I think was kind of a smart move to, like, gag yourself so you can't.
Was the only part
except on the show, we have seen zombies tear a horse apart with their bare hands, right?
Yeah, that's what
that.
I kind of was thinking. It would pull, and that's why I said it would pull the material off. I mean, it's one thing like with when Michonne cut their jaws off, but you can't just tie a cloth around a zombie's head. I don't know that it would be smart enough. Although we have seen those zombies that like died with helmets on or whatever that like couldn't get them off. So I mean, I guess there's a little bit of a precedent, but it was a little too.
I also think stabbing yourself in the gut with kind of a small knife is a very slow
and
death.
Also. But. Has no one, does she never watch TV? Everyone knows the most slowest, most painful way to die is to stab yourself in the stomach. Like, if you're going to kill yourself, you slice your throat or something. You do not stab yourself in the stomach because
or
it ain't going to work.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It was just all around dumb.
Wrist.
And there were so many better ways they could have caused her to be injured than this stupid, like, tire-changing incident. Like, you know, like, like, changing, it was just, I mean. Anyway,
but
so
I
that
agree
all
with
dumb.
You, though. She's got a little baby. Why was she even out by herself with what was going on in the first place? It just so many problems. But regardless
why?
Of that, she somehow made it back, and her baby is what stops Morgan from, well, I guess maybe Grace was going to kill Morgan then kill herself, one way or the other, but this murder-suicide thing they were on, that it's because
well,
I'm going to kill my baby.
It wasn't really murder. It wasn't murder-suicide. It was a suicide pact. It was a, he was going to...
Right.
So I thought it was...
I'm just saying,
because
obviously one of them had to kill both of them, but I'm just saying.
I thought it seemed... I thought it seemed like a very dicey proposition that the one bullet would go through the back of Morgan's skull, out his forehead, and into Grace's forehead, and out... Like, your forehead is, like, the hardest part of your skull.
See,
I thought there was a very good chance... One or both don't die.
Yeah, see, you thought through it more. That's why I said murder-suicide. I kind of assumed they were going to shoot one, then shoot the other. That was why I said murder-suicide.
No, he was holding the gun to the back of his own head, and
that,
his forehead
was
against her forehead. The idea was one bullet
that
would
was
take
more
them both
like
out.
I thought that was more like an I love you moment before I kill myself. But
no,
the problem
is
if this writing was better, I would have realized that. So, but regardless of that, I did not get that.
So
I was
so
probably
in,
too busy saying, God, this is so stupid. Yeah. I was busy yelling at the television.
So they're in the control room of a submarine, and they hear a baby crying outside, which also is ridiculous, right? Like, that must be one loud baby, as I texted you. That baby must be crazy loud that you can hear it inside a submarine. That really pissed – so a lot of things pissed me off about this. I feel like the showrunners – wanted to have their cake and eat it too. Like, they wanted Grace to lose the baby, but they also want Morgan and Grace to raise a baby, right?
Yeah,
like they
that was
want so they kill Rachel. Like, she dies for no other reason but in service to Morgan's plot. Really, not that I care
like,
because
why not
she's
just
a red, she's basically
live.
A red shirt.
But I agree.
But,
why not just let Grace's baby live in the first place if that was the plan? That does seem kind of. Now, the only I do want to say, out of everything, the only part that I did that I thought was interesting and worked for me, the only part that worked for me was Daniel hearing the numbers, and which of course made me think of Lost. But Daniel hearing these numbers and them thinking that he imagined it, and they decide to follow him. And it was sent by the CRM or whatever. They were saying these numbers. That, to me, I thought was kind of interesting. And
it was Al. It was Al saying the numbers.
Yeah, right. And the fact that she sent her girlfriend or whatever to them, that I bought. I mean, it was a little far-fetched, don't get me wrong, because she happened to find her right after all this time, and then she got them to them. But the fact that, like, they had a way to save to come, and again, I'm not sure the helicopter could outrun a nuclear blast, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
That storyline I didn't mind. Like, I thought that was kind of cool out of everything. That was probably the only part of the episode that I didn't totally hate. Well, I said there's no way a helicopter outrun a nuclear blast, but
well,
the idea that it was CRM was kind of interesting, I thought, because it, like, kind of tied those stories back together. But that was the only part about it. And I liked it.
So, I mean,
and that was pretty much
I had some problems with that, Jamie, because of the whole storyline where they have Riley now. Somehow they have Riley as their prisoner. And this other guy, Raleigh, why do they have to have two different names?
The other
Richard
that we barely knew.
The same name. He's been around. He's one of Sherry's people, the mask people.
But didn't you expect the person who betrayed them to at least be an important person?
Yeah, I mean, that guy was kind of mad. Remember when they had that big meeting when they couldn't find the guns and they were like, oh, Daniel's losing his mind. I mean, that's who he is. But it just seemed really dumb to me also that he has turned over to Riley's, to Teddy's side. And I'm not sure when he found time to actually, like, be, like, fully, like, informed of all of Teddy's. Like, he's, like, a fully informed member of Teddy's conspiracy, right? Like, when did he have time to go sneak around and do that?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they said he only became converted after the incident with the guns. So that was kind of dumb.
The 11th hour, it was just.
And they're actually like they're still like having these elaborate plans to like trick everyone so that they like it's not enough to set off nuclear bombs and all they wanted to do was this end of the beginning stuff. But all of a sudden in this episode, Riley and Raleigh are like now they're really mean and they're like we want to trick you so you can be forced to watch the bomb land so you can know you were wrong. And so now they've got this sort of like really mean sort of sadistic streak in them that as crazy as they were that never really was like this is the same. So Riley let Morgan live only 2 weeks ago when he took the key and now he's like I'm so mean I'm going to make you watch the bomb like all that was dumb. It is kind of hard to believe that, so they get in the helicopter, like probably 30 seconds before the bomb goes off. So it's hard to believe that, maybe they're away from the blast, here's the thing. Do we ever see those characters again? Did they just get into a helicopter? Like Rick Grimes got in the helicopter and was never seen again. Are they off the show now?
I'm guessing not, but that could be a possibility. But the truth is, I said CRM, but we really don't know if that was partially just an Al and her girlfriend plan or if that was connected. Right, but what I'm saying is it's possible, and I'm not saying it makes a lot of sense, but with the show you never know, how you find people so easy in the apocalypse. It's possible that maybe Al met up with her girlfriend and they took off themselves with the helicopter. I mean, there's that possibility, which
so
to me makes no less sense than anything else. So,
that's definitely Isabel piloting the chopper. So,
but I'm saying it's possible that, like, Isabel split off from the CRM and it was totally their plan to save those few people. Like,
I see what you're saying.
I don't.
Although, I find it hard to believe that the CRM would let her go with their helicopter. I mean, the CRM, we're talking about people who on the other show, on New World, whatever that show was called, they massacred a city of 10,000 people because they wanted to catch two people. Right? Like...
Right, true. Yeah, I'm not saying she did it with her blessing. I'm just saying I could see that being a possibility so they're not off the show.
No, I'm saying not even with their blessing. They would hunt her down. They would hunt her down and kill her and take back their helicopter is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they would. They would.
But,
I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely – but okay, that raises the question, like, maybe they did defect. Maybe she did defect so she could be with Al. Or maybe Al is, like, in the CRM – not in the CRM, but maybe they're – maybe they go to the CRM and we don't see them again because this show, the timelines are off on all these shows.
Yeah, that's hard.
I wouldn't mind if all those people were gone, except I think that Daniel, they're not going to write Daniel and Al off the show. I could see like Wes and the rabbi and some of the other people who were there, but they're not going
to
write Charlie. They're not going
to
write Charlie. It was Charlie, Daniel, Luciana, Wes, the rabbi, Sarah, the trucker girl, Sarah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hold on 1 second. Something fell. I don't know what it was. I thought I saw something fall. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I agree. They're not going to write that many people off the show.
Well, not those particular people. Like some of them, but not Charlie, Daniel, and Luciana probably. So there was that. So we also had Sherry and Dwight, who... on the one hand, it was nice to see them kind of get back together in what they assumed were their final moments of life. On the other hand, like, it's kind of annoying how, like, Sherry was just like, you know what? I realize I've been a jerk. I mean, I guess if I was about to be annihilated by a nuclear bomb, maybe I would have a come-to-Jesus moment and realize I've been a jerk all this time. But, you know, Sherry...
why I her if she thought that she would stick with that, because I kind of wonder that after they don't die, she wouldn't go back to what she was. But she seemed to think that she's changed. So, well, I mean, granted,
and
the actress she could still be wrong, but that's what she said. So,
and like her loser husband Dwight, right? Like, you know, she's like, oh, I've been such a jerk and wasted so much time, blah blah. And Dwight says, you have nothing to be sorry for. And I was like, oh, my God, Dwight, you, like, walked. You walked across the entire country to find her. And then she was a bitch to you.
Why are you calling him a loser? He went all the way to find her.
No, because he has no backbone. Like, stand up to her. I mean, I realize you think.
I thought you meant he did all that. But I'm going to say, though, he was still. He did that to her, but yeah.
I mean, I understand he thought he was facing nuclear annihilation, but and maybe you should forgive people at the end of the world, but, you know. So in the end, they end up going in that storm cellar, which
if they had saved those people, they may not have been able to even do, because they were, like, not even going to share. But they're like, well, you kill these people for us. Now you're our best friend.
That's one of the annoying things. Are they new – like, so now do they live down – like, do we have new characters now introduced in the season finale? Like, are they going to be on the show? Because Dwight and Sherry have to live down there for at least a few days.
With the way this show is, there may be no fallout. They may just come back up to the surface and go back to Morgantown. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't take much for granted on this show when it comes to the writing.
Here's the thing. I feel like they might have written themselves into a little bit of a box, because they wrote it such that everyone is far enough away that there's no storm. So apparently when the bomb goes off, there's the flash of light, which will probably blind you if you're not careful, right? There's the flash of heat, which like vaporized Dakota, which we'll get to in a minute. Then there's the wave of destruction, the sonic wave or whatever you want to call it, with like shit flying around everywhere, right? Glass breaking.
Yeah.
And then there's the nuclear fault. Then there's the radiation. So all those things have to happen. And all of the main characters avoided the heat, the blast, the wind, like all that stuff. Everyone's far enough away. I do think, so after what I've read, going underground for Dwight and Sherry was a good move. I do not believe that they could hold a rope to hold, like, the force of a nuclear explosion, and they can hold the door with a rope was a little bit unbelievable, right? But
yes, although many things that are unbelievable, that's only a
time. And from what I read, if you stay indoors or underground for at least the first 48 hours, that's when most of the fallout will come down. But it does blow around, and it sticks on everything, and everything you touch from now on has radiation and everything, right?
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand, maybe just because I don't understand that stuff. But I thought this thing fallout stayed for a long time. That's why, like, you couldn't visit Chernobyl for so long or whatever, I thought.
Well, yes, Chernobyl's a different situation because Chernobyl's not a bomb. It's a reactor. Chernobyl had – so like, the bomb that went off over Nagasaki had, like, a couple pounds of uranium in it. Chernobyl had a couple of tons of nuclear material inside of it. And it all went off at ground level, not up in the sky. And it all is continuing right? I only know that because I read a thing today that said, like, why is Chernobyl, why are people still living in Nagasaki today and they're fine? And, like, Chernobyl, you know. But the blast at Nagasaki and killed like 70,000 people, and like a lot of these bombs would kill. Like, if anybody still lived in Texas, they'd be annihilated if they were near this bomb, right? But Chernobyl, because it's a reactor, Chernobyl had like a lot more radioactive material in it than a bomb. In fact,
that makes sense. I'll explain it.
A bomb like the one that went off. So this missile that they shot off, right, had 10 warheads on it. So if it had one warhead, it would have been gigantic. But to fit 10 warheads, they got to all be smaller. So it's like 10 smaller things went off. At any rate, they still should have been
They were supposed to go off in 10 different places, though, right? Or did I miss?
Yes, but we only saw like two or three go off, right?
Right. But that's what I thought. They were supposed to have like split up or whatever.
I guess the rest went really far away where they couldn't see them. I don't know.
Or they
can decide
to make
like
new story points later, right? when they run out of things.
But it does seem like Sherry and Dwight, aside from holding the rope, they were in a good place to survive the blast. Like, at least we saw them have like a big blast. Like Morgan and Grace, the blast had enough to blow that truck right away from them. I mean, if the zombie was smoking and had been burned, they should have been annihilated, all of them, right? And the stuff should have blown away. At least
yeah,
wait.
Worth it.
And Sherry went
over. Irritated me.
Then the last person, I guess. Oh, so let's talk about, before Strand, who was the best person on this episode, I think. There's the whole Dakota and Teddy and Dory and June. That was kind of annoying. I mean, I'm glad she died, right? But there were some annoying things
yeah.
going on there also.
I mean, she shot Teddy. Not that that was surprising.
Yes.
Dakota's Dakota.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought that she's like, you lied to me too. So I can't say that I was surprised she shot him. So I guess I'm okay with that. The other ones, I mean, I'm not surprised. They're going to try to the last second to save her life. Although
yeah.
I kind of appreciate for once they didn't. I mean, I also would not have been surprised if one of them ended up dead or almost dead trying to save her. At least they're like, well, then screw you and shut her out. So I appreciate
yeah.
that part a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't really good or bad.
I was really surprised that okay, so first of all, I thought Teddy was planning to die. Is that the same – that bunker, is that the same bunker that Alicia's in, or is that a different bunker? Like, Teddy was saying this whole time he was prepared to die, but he actually had a secret bunker that he wasn't going to die? Teddy was a liar?
Yeah,
I
don't think that it's the same bunker because she's at that hotel or whatever, isn't she? But, yeah, I guess the point was he never intended to die. But the thing that I didn't understand, and maybe I misunderstood this, I was going to ask you about is – okay, so he did not intend to die. He just had to make them believe that he was going to die. But what was this thing of, like, he needed somebody else like Dakota to turn the key or whatever? He had Riley. Why did he need her at that point? I didn't understand why he needed a partner
no.
again after that. I missed
because
something.
There are more missiles still on the submarine, and does Teddy want to go back to the submarine and launch some more of them? And he doesn't have Riley.
Right, but if
he
went down into the bunker, he could pick anybody else to go with him again. I don't understand why he would have to.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he's the only one, I guess, that he trusted. I don't know. But
yes. Or maybe it is a different bunker. Maybe it's his secret personal bunker, and it's not where Alicia is. Because that bunker
yeah.
was supposedly in a hotel, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that was part of the same thing.
I think
but,
Teddy was a liar and had his own bunker.
Yeah, I think that was the whole thing. I think he acted like he wanted to see it, but I think he was going to duck down last second and survive.
I think so, too.
Although I'm not
and
sure
he was
why
a little,
he put the bug by. But,
and he was a little too friendly with Miss Dakota there, wasn't he? Like, they, I don't know.
Yeah,
was
and that was
a little
my
creepy
other
and...
question. That's why I was wondering, too. Maybe he figured they'd stay down there and repopulate. I don't know. But, yeah, it got
yeah.
really creepy really quick. I definitely agree with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So somehow June and Dory show up there, right? I was surprised that June said that she would forgive Dakota because Jonathan dead, we think, a matter of days, right?
Yeah. I don't know, though, that she – and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that she really forgave her. I felt like it was more like she was trying to save her life because she still didn't think – that it was right to let her die, like not necessarily that she truly forgave her. Maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of more felt like it was like a ditch effort to try to get her to come down so she at least didn't die. But I might,
guess.
That
it
might
seems to me, it seems to me that if you're going to shoot Virginia in the head for raising Dakota, like she shot Virginia because of John's death, but then she doesn't
right.
shoot
Dakota
because
the one
of John's death. Yeah.
I mean, I get that she's saying it was Virginia's fault that Dakota was like that, but at a certain point, Dakota was old enough, it's her fault now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I don't know that I can believe June forgave her. I can believe that June is a good person and doesn't want her to die.
Okay.
And maybe she didn't want to be guilty for killing someone else, so maybe she tried to save her life. But whether or not she really forgave her, I don't know that I can buy. But it doesn't matter because she's vaporized. So,
yeah.
Yay.
So I have to also question why you even have John Dory Sr. on the show if he doesn't get to kill Teddy at the end. Like, okay, John Dory, yes, John Dory Sr., right? His storyline, I guess, is important to June's evolution. And by meeting John Dory... she kind of was able to let go of her John and whatever, but like, why didn't John Dory get to kill? Like, he didn't get to kill Teddy in the end.
Yeah, instead they let Dakota do it, which was really dumb. Yeah, I mean,
like,
we saw him die, but still.
I just find, I just cannot believe that John Dory Sr., after basically, like, ruining his own life and abandoning his family and all this, like, gets the chance to kill Teddy and doesn't take it.
And doesn't do it, yeah.
But anyway, those two have gone into a bunker. I mean, those two, who knows what's in that bunker? Like, John and June could really stay down there for a while and weather this. They might have supplies. They might have water. They might have, you know, who knows what they got down there. They might be able to really, like, wait out some of the initial.
Yeah,
although,
even if he had enough for one or, I mean, he could have maybe had enough for two people, I guess. So, really, there should be enough down there.
I guess. I have some questions, like, if you have a secret bunker and you're planning to live there, why would you program your missile to go off, like, 5 miles away from your bunker? Like, why wouldn't you target some missiles?
Yeah, that's why I feel like he wanted to watch it, but he couldn't watch it and be down below, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless he figured he'd be there at the very last second.
Why would you target your missile? Okay, so by the way, there's no way they could target them from the sub, right? Like when you launch nuclear missiles, you have to get the targeting is done, like, at some Navy ballistic headquarters command in, like, many states away or whatever, right? People who are on the submarine don't get to choose
the... been on the sub. It wouldn't have been done on
but
the
anyway,
side, you're right. You're not supposed to think about that.
Anyway, like, because Dakota was vaporized, we know they were very close to the blast, and there's probably really bad radiation there, as opposed to somebody like Strand, who's so far away that he can watch it without even having sunglasses on. It doesn't even bother his eyes, right? Did he close his eyes?
Yeah.
I don't even think he closed his eyes.
I don't know. But I don't know that you would necessarily think to close your eyes. Again, I didn't thought that they'd all be, in real life, they'd all be dead. But you know more about it than I do because you actually looked it up.
No, they would be dead because they all,
I didn't bother.
They'd be dead because I don't think any of them could get very far away within 20 minutes, right?
No.
They had like 20 minutes to get away and you need to be, so I've read that like if you're in, so what I read today was like, depending on the size of the bomb, within 5 miles of it, you're totally getting like, within 13 miles, if you look at it, you'll be blinded, right?
The only thing that I would think is maybe if they had, they didn't even do it, so I don't know, but I would wonder that maybe if they had stayed in the sub, they would have been safer in a way because
underground,
the sub's like a big thick metal container.
Yeah.
I would have almost
like
wondered it would have been safer.
Yeah, it's made out of steel.
Like,
Morgan, you just found a baby. To get the baby. They came out to get the baby, but they should have run right back inside.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
And why did she unlock the dog? I'm out about the dog, but you know me.
Well, because it was hooked to a zombie, Jamie. You can't leave the dog hooked to a zombie.
No, I know, but she should have unhooked it and held the leash. She, like, unhooked it and let it run away. There was
Okay, Jamie, I'm sorry, but when there's a nuclear bomb about to land on you, you probably are not going to think about holding the leash.
I don't know that I would have taken time to worry about the baby. No, I would have. I don't know. But I feel like if I was saving the baby, I would have saved the dog, too. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just
no,
me, but I
no.
would
No. She just
If
she
I was
just
taking
lost
time
her own
to
baby.
Save the baby, I would have saved
I mean,
the dog.
I think one thing that – I think what's important in that scene, did it seem to you that Grace was giving Morgan kind of a dirty look when he was like, oh, look, wait, the new – okay, Morgan actually said – Morgan didn't say it. The showrunners on Talking Dead, the showrunner said – oh, the universe gave them a baby. So I felt like when he had the baby and was like, oh, Morgan's like, we have this baby or whatever. You could see that Morgan was really happy to have a baby to raise. And I felt like Grace was giving him like the evil eye, like you can't just replace. Oh, you know what Morgan said? Morgan said, this is a gift from Athena. I think this baby is a gift from Athena. And Grace was giving him the side eye, like, oh my God, are you serious right now? My dead baby that just died like 2 days ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't notice
see
her
there could be some conflict next year that maybe she, you know, doesn't want to raise this baby and he does. But all right, we're gonna have to move on. We're talking a lot, but let's get to Strand because to me, the highlight of the episode was Strand's speech. Not because it made sense, but because Coleman Domingo was really, like, bringing it in that scene.
Awesome, yeah. You know, it made me think about what you said the week before. You said something last week how if I remember, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you said something how, like, every time you think Strand is going to do something more and he's going to be better, and every single time he's Strand.
He's less. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that basically, to me, it made me laugh because I remembered what you said that. I said, that's basically what that whole scene was. It's like saying, no, I'm not Morgan. Screw that. I can defy everybody. I can kill people. I can do whatever I want, and I'm still going to survive because I'm me, and I'm the only one that matters. Like, that's what that speech kind of was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why in the hell he told him he was Morgan in the first place. Like, I didn't get that or the point to that. But I also am not sure after that happened if I would admit to somebody what he did. But it was almost,
right.
That's what I felt. It was almost like he was laughing in Dust's face, like, ha-ha, I did everything wrong, everything I shouldn't have done, and I still lived. Like, that was what that speech was to me. It's like, I'm Strand, I'm always going to survive. And I found it kind of funny
you.
And ironic. I liked it. So I don't get why he pretended to be Morgan, though. That I just
I think he said he was Morgan because... Not because so last week he tries to kill Morgan, which in one of the most stupid scenes of the entire season, because it's just not believable that Strand would have done that, right? Like, do I believe that Strand would sacrifice others? Yes. Do I believe that there was any advantage to Strand in doing it in that moment? No. He would have been much better
off.
Which
is why he
using him. But I think he thinks he's about to die. Like, he thinks the world is ending and he's about to die. And I think he did feel a little guilty about, like, trying to kill this person and, like, for what reason no good came of it. And then, so I think when he says, I'm Morgan Jones, it was because, you know, we had to keep hearing Morgan's speech over and over again saying, like, try to find the ending in the time you have, try to find the end you wish you could have. Like, Morgan's saying to them, like, try to find, like, some meaning in the end of it, right?
And I
think maybe Strand was, because he just died, he's like... I wish I was a better man. And then he lives and he's like, oh, no, I don't wish I was a better man because it's being a bad man that helped me to live, which also wasn't true because he only survived because he managed to get farther away than everybody else. Like,
yeah, I know. But I guess my point is to me, no, sorry, I just want to say really quick. I guess my point is to me, him saying that he was Morgan only to me would have made sense if this guy had heard of Morgan. Like, then it would have made sense because he would have thought, oh, you're the great Morgan. But this guy had no clue who Morgan was. That's why it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I agree with you. I didn't maybe see it in that moment, but I had to think about it more afterwards. But it was a speech. He was saying it really more for himself than for not trying to disguise his identity. He's trying to be like, it's my last moment of life. I wish I'd been a better person, maybe. And then he lives and he's like, oh, I don't wish I was a better person because being a bad person is the way to go. Which, again, is so dumb because he didn't survive this particular disaster because of anything he did that was selfish. He just managed to, like, get away, right? I also, what's with this guy who lives in, like, some sort of office building in, like, the cleanest, nicest place we've seen in the apocalypse, right? It's cleaner than the governor's house. It's like, and he's so civilized, this guy, and he's so genteel, and he's another one that I was like, wait, is he going to be like Strand's new best friend? Are they going to like live together and be friends for a while? Like, he can't go anywhere, at least right now.
I don't know.
So
I know that actor. I mean, I can't think of who he is, but like, he's somebody I've seen in things, so he's not like a he might
new
not
character.
Be Richard. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again. Not that he's like some, you know, super famous guy, but I just mean like I've seen him in sci-fi shows.
Well, I mean, he has to be in at least the season premiere, unless you get a time jump, which I don't think we will.
I think they match up with the other show, but yeah, I agree. I don't think we will either.
One thing this episode didn't show us is the consequences of the nuke. We didn't really see any devastation. So Morgan had some wind blowing around and a burned up zombie, and like Sherry and Dwight probably saw the worst of, like, the blast that we saw, right? With, like, wind blowing around and stuff. But we didn't see, like craters from, like, the blast and stuff ruined. And we won't see, the greatest devastation of nuclear war is the loss of life. And we won't really see any because no one's really alive except for the people we know.
Right, because they have to be the ones that lived there. Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm not a fan of this nuclear storyline. Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with what you're saying. I do give him props for actually setting off the bomb, and Karen, you like actually researched it a bit. I didn't care enough, but you actually looked it up. I appreciate you did that, and it makes me feel like okay, maybe it makes a slight bit of sense. I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense, but you know, it makes sense at least. And I appreciate that they actually did that. Right, but I do appreciate they actually went through with it, but. And like I said, I kind of think it could be intriguing if they're connecting CRM again. But that part would have to wait to be seen. But there were so many other things about the episode which we've gone through that just kind of overshadow the good things.
I mean, I feel like I'm not interested in seeing an apocalypse within an apocalypse. Like, I felt like
that's a good
the
point.
Zombie apocalypse is enough for me. And, like, are they truly so far out of ideas that now they've really converted it to a nuclear apocalypse? Right?
Yeah.
You're right. Like, I was watching the zombie apocalypse. I could watch a nuclear apocalypse show also. I just don't know that I'm interested in the
zombie apocalypse.
Don't need
two in one.
And, you know, the showrunners have said things like, oh, this is a whole new world, a whole new landscape. No one's prepared to live like this. I'm like, how would you even really know if there's radiation or if you're, like, what? Like they still had no food or no water, and of course, maybe now their stupid radios won't work, although they probably will.
probably.
But, like, I'm not really sure how really it gets worse for them, except that they might die of radiation. But nothing really blew up around them.
Did you read all of Christine's note? Because she had said that the resources would be used up, but I'm not sure that I understand how this bomb. I mean, I understand what she said about obviously the air quality and that, and there could be fault, but I don't understand why the bomb going off would create less resources because they already had low resources. It's a zombie apocalypse, so I'm not sure how that makes.
Unless you lived very close to the blast and you were unable to, and buildings were blown down and there was no shelter and you couldn't scavenge, but they all seem to be safely in places where they can continue to scavenge and live. Like, nobody really had any real consequences except for radiation, that I can see, right? And also, as you and I were talking about, why not just leave? Like, why would you stay in Texas? Why would you not be like, okay, let's try to find a way to keep walking as far away from this radiation as we can?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I guess they don't really know, but isn't it convenient that Grace has been carrying around a radiation meter for the entire time we've known her? But, wouldn't you be like, well, hell, let's go to Mexico. Let's go, right?
Didn't they start off there? Isn't that where they started off, near Mexico?
But
yeah, I mean, the thing is and the other thing is, you think about low resources. If anything, I would think that they would have more resources now because everybody else that's above ground would be dead, and they can steal all their resources. You know,
except Morgan, who even can't be killed. But Morgan's plot armor now is such that he can't even be killed by a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, people who most people. Nobody knew it was coming. If there are survivors around, they didn't know a nuclear bomb was coming, and so they would be unprepared, and they would die.
Because Morgan's message only would have went out to the people with the radios, not everybody. So only his people would have gotten the message.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yep.
I would have loved if everybody got nuked in the show. But they were like, surprise, it's over. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, but we know it's been renewed. That doesn't happen.
I know, but it would go down as one of the greatest endings of all time.
Yeah, it would probably, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, now it's not going to come back, and they're filming right now. They're into filming already of season 7.
Okay.
But it's not going to come out until I don't know how long. So they're in the middle of filming now, but they have to finish, and then the show has a lot of post, right? So Walking Dead comes back in August. So I'd say 2022 maybe for the show to come back, right?
Yeah, it will be. I wouldn't think it'd be totally soon.
I think last year came out in February. Maybe next February.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about next is Van Helsing, right?
Yes.
This should be a pretty fast discussion.
Yeah. I mean, there's things I like about this episode. There's things I don't like about this episode. I like that Vanessa was back, and people can read my interview with Kelly Overton if they go to the site.
I'm really glad in your interview with Kelly that you talked about the best thing about this entire episode was Kelly Overton's new haircut, and you asked about it.
Yeah, well, I just wondered because I'm like, she's stuck in some kind of, I don't know, in my mind, and I didn't say this, but in my mind, she's stuck in kind of this, you know, loop, nightmare, dark, you know, whatever they call it, the dark realm, and somehow she had time to stop and cut her hair, which is why I wondered why they changed it. But, she had changed it, and they decided to keep her real haircut, so I thought that was kind of funny. But there's things I like about this episode. I like that Kelly's back, okay? Vanessa's back. I liked that they had Vanessa and, you know, Axel together.
Axel.
What I don't like is that 90% of the episode was flashbacks. I mean, granted, a lot of this I had forgotten, so I can't say that maybe we didn't, if it's connected, and I don't know yet, but if some of this ends up connected to the, you know, the finale where we have to remember this stuff, then I could say, okay, none of us remembered most of this. Let's be honest, this was so long ago. So in that sense, I could maybe, if that happens, appreciate it. But the fact that she was back and was only back for like 10 minutes, that I didn't like. I also am not so sure about the fact that at least at the end of this episode, she turns in, and this is where I was telling you that at least that other episode that we thought had no point with Julius's ex-girlfriend, turns into her at the end. So there was at least a point to that. That was what I was before when I couldn't tell you what I was talking about. I do appreciate that at least that episode did have a point. But the fact that at least at this point, if she turns into this other actress, then I'm assuming that means we're not going to have more Kelly for a while. I mean, we are eventually going to have more Kelly, and I haven't seen it yet, but she did say she'd be back, and I figured she would be. But, I mean, I just feel like we've been waiting for Vanessa, and it wasn't enough Vanessa. And I know kind of COVID and scheduling and everything, as she had said, was part of why, but I don't know. I just was, in that sense, I was disappointed just because I would have liked to have seen more of her.
I don't think it was bad.
I mean, it was okay.
I thought it was bad. It was bad. I was very disappointed, like you, that we didn't see more of Vanessa. And what really bothered me was that this wasn't just flashbacks. This was a clip show. So you look at something like Lost, where you have all flashbacks, but it's all new content every single week. This was new content.
That's why I asked.
This was
refilm.
Yeah,
you
asked. These were literally recycled clips from old episodes. It was. I can't believe we had to see Sam, my most hated character ever.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, because when I started watching this, and granted, I didn't know when I started watching it was going to be a clip show, but I saw his name in the credits, and I started laughing. I'm like, oh, God, Karen is going to hate this. It doesn't matter what happens. Karen is going to hate this. And I started thinking of you. But then I was like, oh, okay, it's clips. So why they needed to do that's beyond me. But that's
me, too. I feel like, I mean, so I know you just talked to Kelly Overton, but it'll be interesting to hear when this is over. Like, did they have limited time? Well, they did have limited time with her. She said she wasn't really able to get up there and shoot. But I can appreciate – well, I can't really appreciate. So it was very – the actual, like, what was actually happening was confusing to me. So somehow Vanessa brings Axel into the dark realm, although she didn't really bring him because I think
– yeah.
It was his, like, he was sleeping the whole time, but his mind joined
like
her mind in the dark realm, right? And, by the end of it, was never really clear, like, why she, it's like she just brought Axel to help her talk it through, because he didn't actually do anything but listen to her and talk to her.
Yeah, I think it was to help her.
Right?
I guess she thought that he would help her defeat this evil thing, which turned out was her, which, by the way, let's once again say the stupid people that make episode previews, I'm like 99% positive that in the last preview they showed that weird thing turn into Vanessa, because I remember when I started watching it thinking, we already know that's Vanessa, so they must have shown it in the clip. So again, that's not
the
people who do the promo. But I guess she thought that Axel would help her overcome it was the point.
And he did.
But
I mean, she did it herself.
Yeah, but it was kind of dumb because, you know, in the end, it's like she's like the dark one brings her to the dark realm or whatever. But in the end, it turns out like she's only really trapped in the dark realm because of her own self. And if she can just like overcome her regrets of her life, then she can get out of the dark realm, which is like ridiculous because the dark realm is not.
Yeah, well, some of that wasn't completely clear because that's the one thing I didn't get either. It sounded like she was saying the part that she was at then at that farmhouse or whatever. That was part that was created by herself in order to escape. Like, that was her escape route, which, again, I didn't quite understand. But it wasn't all from the dark one. It was, yeah, it was partially her. So
I mean, that was, like, a long, convoluted, like, gee, I really regret not killing Sam when I had the chance. If I'd only killed Sam when I had the chance, this never would have happened. Which is not really true. Yes, the Oracle had been growing him and cultivating him to be part of her plan. But she would have found somebody else.
But he was
a
murderer way before that.
Yeah, but we have to see, like, 20 minutes of clips of Sam and this whole, like, rehash from season, what is that, season one? Beginning of season two?
One or two.
For her to be like, oh, I regret not killing Sam. Like, we get that. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're still watching this show right now, you remember
that.
We need
to see it.
No, yeah.
Unless
the flashbacks become important later on, we didn't need it. I would have rather had an episode just about Vanessa and Axel.
Yeah. And then her regrets about Dylan were a little bit, it surprised me they brought Dylan up, who's not been mentioned, like, in at least two seasons. And her regrets about Dylan were a little, like, there's no way she could have done, when she was attacked by the first vampire, there's no way she could have done anything to protect Dylan. And then later she she changed her. By the way, remember she changed Dylan, but then Dylan ends up getting burned up by the sun, which is nothing we've ever, like, everybody else she turns back doesn't have that problem.
Well, if I remember rightly, when we had this discussion originally, it was because she was like an experiment and she wasn't like a normal vampire or something. They had experimented on her. At least I think that was our reasoning back then. Because,
Right.
Nobody else burnt up. Because also Dylan was, acted different, I think, too, during it. So, yeah, I don't know. That was a long time ago. I mean, I would believe she could still have regrets about her. She's her daughter, but I don't know that they needed to bring her back up.
Yeah,
I don't know
and
that
have
she's
a whole
really
episode.
Relevant.
It was a whole episode of rehashing her history, really, and I don't think it focused on the right things. Like, there were a lot of things in her past, like regretting that you didn't kill Sam. Okay, like, yeah, I could see that. Although here's the other thing. I don't think Vanessa has ever been a character who's about regrets that we've ever seen. Like, Vanessa makes a decision, deals with it.
Yeah.
She has some regrets, but for her to be trapped in a prison of her own making, basically, which, that's my other problem. The Dark Realm is not a prison of your own making. Like Jack was legit trapped there by the Dark One. The Dark One lived there. The Dark One was trapped there. You know, like, the Dark One and Jack weren't there because of their regrets. Like, I just felt like they made the Dark Realm be a personal prison for Vanessa in this episode, which isn't
really
track with what the Dark Realm has been for other people. I don't understand the point of this episode.
Yeah, and that's why when she said it was her way of escaping made me even more confused. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like if they were going to have her back for one episode, maybe they could have made it a little more important. But, I mean, maybe they only had those 10 minutes or whatever it took. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
they only get 10 minutes over time.
At least we know she'll be back again at some point. Now, how much?
Yeah.
I don't know, because she turned into that other actress at the end. Although I do have to say, because I've seen part of it, I do like Allie. The girl who plays her. I mean, we talked about her. She was pretty good in the other one before. She just had no point. Now it makes it have more of a point. But I really like her. I think she does in the next episode, because I've seen it. I do think she does a good job. I like her character. Her Vanessa, I guess.
Right.
Or Vanessa being her, whatever you want to call it.
Vanessa in her body.
I do like that. But that's next up. But she will be back. So we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that episode, I just feel like they could have had better use of Kelly's time, maybe.
Yeah, nothing really happened in this episode. So she gets out of the Dark Realm, sort of with Axel's help, but not really. And and she takes up a disguise to sneak into Washington, D.C., which also is, like, kind of crazy. Like Vanessa couldn't – first of all, like, the Dark One wouldn't know that this minion of hers is dead, that she wouldn't totally be able to tell that it's Vanessa and not Allie or whoever she is, and that all the other – like, she couldn't get into D.C. I don't know. It's a little – look, this – I have to stop complaining about it because this last season is just lurching from one thing to the next, from episode to episode, as they, like, try to get to the conclusion. And none of it really is strung together, in my opinion, in a coherent fashion of story, right?
Yes. Well, I will say, in my opinion, and I'm not, you know, going by whether or not I like the story that I'm just saying, I do think at this point it starts to, at least from what I've seen so far, after this, it does start to finally, it seems like to me, is moving towards a conclusion, at least. The next one I would definitely say is, the next ones are, or no, wait, there might be one. I'm trying to think. I feel like one's about Violet and one's about, okay, there might be one more episode. But pretty soon, it might be another episode in between. Pretty soon, it starts to move towards the conclusion finally. Granted, I'm not sure that it should have taken until episode 11 out of 13 to get there.
Yeah.
But it will start to eventually move in that direction, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, because I think the next episode is kind of a one-off again. I'm trying to remember. I think so. It might be. But it will eventually get to where it starts to move towards the conclusion because there's not a lot left. So anyway, people can read that interview with Kelly. And I did talk to Nicole. We talked for a long time. I got a lot of video editing to do. I think that interview, I think, will probably go up after, if I've got them right in my head, after the 11th episode. So it probably will not be this week unless I split it. It'll probably be the week after. But we talked about quite a bit of different stuff. So that's coming too.
Great.
I mean, at least they get an ending. I don't know that they needed 13 episodes to get it to an ending, but at least we're going to get to see an ending, unlike some shows like Manifest, who do not get their ending. But anyway, I don't know. I think I don't really have anything else to say about that episode, do you, about Van Helsing?
No.
Other than to tell people to read the interview on Sci-Fi Vision.
Yeah.
Okay. And for people who don't know, I realize because I said Allie. Allie plays Nina. I'm calling her Allie because that's
Nina. That's her name, Nina. Yeah.
Nina. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's about it. I'll talk to you guys about the beginning of Manifest before I take off.
Yeah.
I saw up to somewhat past Cal disappearing. I saw that Vance had, like, basically said he was going to defy them, but he didn't want them to know it. And I think I was at the point where, if I remember rightly, I think it was at the point where, I can't think of his name, where the cop guy, where he thinks that Sorry might be involved. Yeah, where Jared was, where his girlfriend found that little envelope with Zombie's name on it. I think that was where I left off, somewhere around there. Yeah, I'm kind of appreciate, though, that Jared was, or I think it was Jared, somebody said something to Michaela, like, why did you quit? How is that making it better? Like, how are you going to be able to help them now? Maybe that was that lady. Somebody said that, and I appreciated that.
No, that was Jared.
Jared. I thought that was funny. It's like, finally, somebody said that. There were some different things in the episode I liked. Somebody walked in the room, and what I was going to say went right out my head. I know what I was going to say. I thought it was funny when Ben's daughter looks up on the internet how to remove the ankle bracelet and, like, in 10 seconds puts it on her leg.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. She's like, you can just look it up on YouTube because he was about ready to probably make the alarm go off if he did it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Although I think probably my main comment through this episode was that I wish somebody would punch that ladies in the face.
That
Dr. Gupta.
Yes, I just kept thinking I wish that Grace would punch her in the face so bad. That's all I kept thinking. Like, that's what she needed, was punched in the face.
I did find she's really unsympathetic to Cal's situation.
Anything.
To Cal, anything. But, you know, Cal is dying of secondary burns, and she's like, we still have to keep testing, right? It's not related.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, she does some other things in the episode. I'm not sure, Jamie, how far you saw of what she
does. No, she doesn't know.
No,
I mean,
she turned it back on, even though Vance said no. That was about what I saw with her.
Yeah, that's a real jerk move, right? Yeah.
I mean, I guess the main part that I took about the episode, the main thing is them trying to fall the calling and the fact that guy who I didn't know until this episode, the one that was from that 828ers or whatever, that group, that he's
Egan, the guy in jail? Egan?
Yeah. No, Ian and the other guy, that they're trying to lead people to kill Ben. That's not smart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Adrian.
Kind of, I think it was pretty obvious, at least to me, that it was supposed to be in the calling was saying that, what did you say his name was again? Not Adrian, the other one.
Egan and Adrian.
Egan. That Egan trying to open the door, that he's probably the one that's going to bring the plane down. I don't know. I mean, he's rallying people maybe a little too easily, that people are, like, listening to him. I mean, don't these people, like, remember at all the times that they've tried to help them and they're just kind of like, yeah, let's kill Ben? The fact that What's-Her-Face showed up there, I don't know what I expected. I kind of was hoping maybe she would
who's
try to talk
face?
To them.
Can you be more specific about who's
I don't
Angelina.
Know what it's anymore. Angelina, yeah.
Angelina.
The white female. I kind of was almost hoping maybe she was going to say something to stick up for Ben, but I guess not. Although that was the other thing that I kind of, whenever the daughter came home and her mother's like, I'm sorry, like, I get that her mother maybe didn't get that she was doing the thing she was doing, but the way she was like, I'm sorry we didn't trust you, I didn't really feel like they didn't trust her. They just didn't see how bad Angelina was, but she acted like they had done this huge disservice to their daughter, which I don't know that I quite felt I'm not saying they shouldn't be sorry, but I felt like they made it like they were really, really cruel to their daughter, which I didn't quite feel. But then again, she's been gone so long, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie, though, not for nothing, this chick was totally single white female, and Olive didn't feel safe. And her parents were just like, no, it's okay. So I kind of get it.
No, I get it. But, I mean, the way she said it, it wasn't that they didn't trust Olive. They just didn't – I don't know. That's kind of how I felt. But either way –
They didn't believe her. When Olive said how bad it was, they were like, no, it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah. What you said right before that, Jamie, I have to agree that I was a little surprised at how – suddenly Angelina is with the 828ers and is like, you know, she's hanging out with Egan and Adrian. And, you know, of all people, Ben, Grace, and Michaela have gone out of their way to try to help. They rescued her. They brought her home. Like, Angelina really turned on them. I mean, granted, they threw her out.
She was pissed, and I get that. But she should have been been like, hey, they're good people. You shouldn't go murder them.
I think when they threw her out of the house, she actually understood. Like, they were like, you got to go. And I mean, Grace threw her out after, like, the house went on fire, and she didn't try to save the baby and was standing there praying. And, like, you know, Grace was like, get out of here. And Angelina was like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I felt like Angelina did kind of understand why Grace did that. And
yeah, I did too.
It is kind of surprising that she should be with the anti-Ben Stone crowd all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm not per se sided with them, but when she didn't tell them it was a bad idea to go kill Ben, then I feel like that was not doing something was bad.
I actually felt the opposite way. Jamie, did you see how her and Adrian first met?
Where she was like touting religious stuff to him? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Fine.
You know, all the stuff with Angelina, I actually felt like it kind of made sense. My feeling is,
well, her parents were religious nuts to begin with, so that
she was always cuckoo.
Of,
no, but that's the thing.
Yeah,
I think Angelina's always been cuckoo. Like, this episode, I've had problems with it this whole time. I kept saying, I don't like how much off-screen stuff happened. You know, there's all this stuff that happened off-screen. We never really got to see it build up. And this kind of helped a little. I mean, I still feel like it was too much off-screen stuff, but I kind of see it in a little more in this episode that she was always nuts. So the way they went about showing us, it just took too long. But I feel,
yeah, well,
I feel like
definitely her parents.
I wasn't
involved,
expecting.
But
yeah, but I at no point was I expecting her to be like, no, the stones are wonderful, because the way things ended.
No, I didn't expect her to be like, oh, they're wonderful. But I would think that she would at least maybe say, like, that murdering them isn't a good idea. Or at least try to get them to maybe think differently. I don't know. But she's just, like, not doing anything is the same thing as being with them. So, but I didn't see much more. I mean, I didn't really see more interaction other than, like you said, it showed how they met.
I do. So I have to agree with AJ. I mean, we've talked about this last week. I agree that, like, the anti-828 sentiment and the government crackdown happened too quickly. Like, all of a sudden in one episode, like, there's all this stuff apparently that's been happening off screen, and like, suddenly the government's cracking down on all this stuff. That sort of came out of nowhere, right? And also this, like, Ben Stone is in league with the government and Ben Stone's a bad person, like, all of that. Like, Egan whipping them up so easily, that also happened a little too quickly also, right? Because we've seen so
and
many
that's
passengers,
kind of my point.
Like,
I can
every
understand
week he helps
somebody.
Can,
right, and I mean, I can understand he can turn them against him, but not that quickly, that easy, without a reason. Like, these people have no reason to hate Ben, other than the few things that Egan said, which, yes, you can rally people to not like somebody, but to rally a group of people to be okay with murder, which is clearly where they're headed.
Well,
and I'm not saying that doesn't happen either. It just seems like it happened to these people were convinced too easy to me. But again, I didn't see the end of the episode, so maybe I shouldn't say that because I don't.
Well, this show is a little, you know, we've had this conversation also several times where one of us will say, no, you guys, a month has gone by since last week's episode, or 2 months have gone by. Like, time passes pretty quickly on the show, and you don't always notice it unless you catch bits of dialogue. Like, I remember AJ being like, oh, I didn't know that. A month has gone by. Okay. And you have to sort of, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess time has passed, but, yeah, it's happened very quickly. And they are whipped up very quickly into this violent mood, which is also a little, yeah. I mean, I could see one or two people who are predisposed, but, like, the way that he gets this whole – it's funny because, like, you know, the show – like, people are against 828, and there's, like, this sort of, like, public sentiment being whipped up unnecessarily, and the exact same thing has happened to the passengers, right? They're having their sentiment whipped up to a violent attitude. It's sort of the same thing that's happening against them, right? They're going against one person. So, Jimmy, you got up to where Cal disappeared.
Yeah, I'm not sure that his mother running in after him were all, I don't know, is that radiation? I'm not even sure what that is. I get that
it was dark matter.
I'm not sure. Smartest thing, dark matter, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that was necessarily the smartest thing. I mean, I didn't think he was going to, I thought maybe if he disappeared, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't think he was going to disappear, but I thought that when he touched it, like, the tail fin would disappear with him. I thought, like, maybe they'd both go down to the bottom of the ocean or something, or at least it would be implying that. But the fact that he left and the tail fin didn't, I was a little, I don't know, because I didn't see that much further to know what happens after that.
Well,
but I was a little...
and Ben's calling, or if it was a calling or a dream, he had seen
him drowning,
Cal. He had seen Cal drowning, right? And then, so you saw the bit with the tail fin, how they get the tail fin and they get on this boat and they go out there and... I really thought Tom was going to die.
No, see, I didn't see they take the tail fin yet, if that's what you're talking about.
You didn't see that?
Karen.
No, maybe.
Vance was telling Ben that he was going to go against them, but he couldn't just announce he was going to go against them. And that's about
So you saw, when they're planning to take the tail fin. You didn't see what happened.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, I kind of assumed they have to take it on a boat. I mean, they're not going to. get there. So that's okay you said that. But that's no, I didn't see you on that. I don't know. I was wondering how the heck they were. I'm still not sure how they're going to get it out of there without people seeing. But
Unless they can bloop it.
Yeah. It's not like you can just like slide it in your pocket and nobody will notice.
Yeah. I got to say, it's too bad that when Ben was like going to zap it with that thing, it's too bad that when he had his calling, he didn't like slip and hit that lady. That's what I was thinking too. Like, what if he just like slipped during his vision? Oops, there she goes. She's vaporized.
She's very, very unlikable.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's supposed to be unlikable, though. I mean, it's not like, you know, the actress's fault or anything. But, she's definitely very unlikable. All right. Well, I don't think, unless you guys have anything else to say about that half of it, I don't think I've really seen much further.
No.
I really tried to. I cannot help that our TV box sucks very badly. There must have been. I think, though, they had like those shorter commercials it sometimes has, at least at the beginning, because I vaguely remember it said, like, we'll be back in 60 seconds. Forever. And when they do that, it means that the episode's longer, so it just did not get through it. But I thought I'd get further than I did.
You watch it. Now, it's been canceled, but maybe by next week there'll be new, you know, they're going to look for a new home for it. So won't happen in a week, but we'll see.
But, yeah, it'd be nice if Netflix or somebody picked it up. Yep, that's it. The only other thing I've seen is the Evil premiere, but that's a little bit out there yet. But that's for, if anybody does know, though, I don't know if you guys had realized that it's been moved to Paramount. It's not coming back to CBS. It's coming to Paramount, the streaming service Paramount.
Oh.
Like the thing that was CBS All Access that changed to Paramount.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All righty.
Huh. All right,
then.
All right, you have a good night.
Oh, I do want to mention, before I forget, I did want to take a second before I hung up to talk and just mention Jason Tobias' movie, Fear, Forget Everything and Run, which is released today on digital and DVD, I think. Anyway, it comes out today, but it's actually pretty good. It's a zombie apocalypse movie, but it's more kind of about the characters and the way humans can be worse than the zombies a lot of times. It's pretty good. I liked it. So people might want to check that out. And that interview and review will be up soon. I had hoped to get it up tonight, but I just couldn't get everything done. Okay. Well, guys, have a good night. I will talk to you next week.
Have a good week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Night, Jamie.
Night. Have a good night. Bye.
Right. All right, is she gone?
Yes.
She's gone, right? Okay.
Holy shit.
I just don't
want to
talk about, oh my God, episode of Manifest. Holy cow. And so Jamie got up to, she did get up to when Cal disappeared, but she didn't, because Cal disappears when they dump the tail fin, right?
No, they dumped the tail fin because Cal disappeared, remember? He runs in and touches the tail fin.
And he touches it, and he disappears, And he disappears, right?
Yeah.
So they dump it because Ben is, like, convinced that's how we get him back, So Vance then reveals himself to be the good guy that we kind of... That was a little incongruous that he's been such a jerk all this time, and then he's like, no way, I'll help you. I feel like, I don't know.
It makes
perfect
sense
to
me.
There was, like, no nuance. It does, but there was no nuance to him at all for the last 6 weeks, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like he tells Ben, he's like, you know, you just want to rush into everything. Sometimes you got to just work it behind the scenes a little. Ben is too headstrong all the fucking time.
Well, and Ben's been worse. They've made Ben worse these last few weeks also. But
yeah.
Right. So then they take the tail fin, which that was how'd they get it out of there? I don't know, but Vance is like, we basically have an hour to get this. Oh, I know, because they like asserted control over the situation.
Yeah. Well, once
they got
Dr. Dum Dum got on board because her grandma told her to, because she got a sign from grandma, the dragon is not for, that was my grandma's thing. So, yeah.
It was pretty, I didn't love the part where Cal had colored over it. Like, is there a paper shortage in the Stone household that Cal had to color over it and, like,
apparently.
Oh, scrape it all?
It was more dramatic that way. Come on.
Yeah, it was. So she's like, oh, this is my sign from my dead grandmother. So she comes around. So they have, you know, that was kind of a good twist. I kind of liked that part where Mean,
yeah,
or, you know, she calls in the boss to be like, you need to override everybody. And then she's like, oops, never mind. I'm going to override you. You don't have any authority here.
Yeah.
Be gone. Like, that was kind of a fun twist. And it actually,
you know,
made sense.
I gotta say, in that very short amount of time, I like what they did with her. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I still can't, I still think she's an idiot. But I like what they did in the fact that explained why she is the way she is. It explains why she's, no, science is the answer. Science the answer, because she had, you know, she's been carrying this baggage around with her entire life, this memory of her grandmother, and it warped her, you know, at a young age, and apparently, you know, she's never dealt with it, and it's carried her through life. So she's like, oh,
yeah,
religion is hocus pocus, and you know, science is the only true answer. So
yeah,
I think that yeah. I like the fact that they at least, you know, it's not a good answer, but at least it kind of came around to why she is the way she is. I thought that was, you know, sometimes it's just those
right.
little things that really bring things together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So they managed to grab it, and they take it out to, they're going to dump it. Where were they taking it? Into the ocean somewhere, right? Like down to Long Island
yeah.
Sound or something, I guess.
Wherever that storm was, once they, you know, figured out the map and everything, and they said, okay, there's a storm there. That's where we got to dump it.
And they go out. Did you think Zombie might die? I thought Zombie might actually die.
I didn't. I knew she was going to fall in, but I didn't think Zombie was going to die. I didn't feel that.
No. All right. I mean, yeah, obviously
no.
she's going to fall in. I mean, she's like standing on a chair in a hurricane, chopping something with an axe. Of course she's going to fall in.
Yeah.
I guess I was wondering if there's any more story for her.
Huge story for her. I'm very excited,
like,
actually.
She can get calling.
She got
again,
her calling back. Seems. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a cool
yeah.
twist that I didn't see coming until, like, you see Ben start shaking, and then you see Shandi start shaking, and I said, she got her calling back.
She did. So does that mean she's redeemed and she's back in the lifeboat?
Yes. They even said that.
She said
that to Ben when they were in the calling. She says, I've got, you know, does this mean I'm redeemed? He's like, I guess so. I don't see why she would have gotten her calling back.
Do you think that's enough to redeem her for killing a person? I mean, she killed her by mistake.
Apparently.
She really didn't kill the major on
yeah.
purpose. Like, we saw that scene, and she really didn't mean to kill her.
Yeah,
her
intent was not to kill her.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, really,
I mean,
she risked her life to save the tailfin. So she's redeemed, I guess. So that was kind of cool. And I did like that sort of, it's been obvious for weeks that her former assistant is in love with her, right? And he almost tells her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's like, oh, you're a good friend. And he's like, Artie goes, she just friend-zoned you.
She did. And I like that guy. He's so nice. And it was so cute the way he did that. And she's oblivious, right?
Well, yeah, of course she is.
Yes. I kind of like that they threw that little side thing in, which is sort of irrelevant and sort of like, you know, like not necessarily what's going on, but it's sort of real. And, you know, there are things going around our characters that they don't, other people act normal. So I did kind of really like that. I did not like, so the whole thing, I mean, we talked about how Egan and his little henchman there, whose name I forget, his murderous henchman, who really just wants to kill someone, they're going after Ben, and all of that, like, I don't know, that all is becoming so biblical. Like, you talked a couple weeks ago or last week that you feel like this really, you know, this is about the divine is involved now.
Oh.
And we see, like, in the calling, and in Adrian's calling, he literally has blood on his hands. Because, you know, and you think where it's going is that he's responsible for Ben, right? Or, like, there's going to be blood on his hands and they're going after Ben. I mean, in the end, is the blood on his hands Grace's blood?
But
at that point, we really think the blood on his hands is going to be Ben's blood, or is Egan or someone going to get killed in the process? Or Vance is going to end up going after Vance, and Vance's son, right, is who they go after.
Well, they didn't
go
after his
Vance,
son
really.
Intentionally.
They go after Vance, yeah.
Well,
then,
no, they went to get information. They thought nobody was home. They didn't know that his son was home playing hooky.
Right, they went to break in, didn't know that someone was home. And then the guy whose name I don't know immediately is like, we need to kill him. He saw us, we should kill him. That guy really just wants to kill a person. So.
Which is really funny, because when he was on the show earlier, Ben helped him. Like, they kept the guy out of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of, I mean, which is why it's a little, it kind of doesn't make sense that all these people are anti-Ben Stone, but I guess Egan is a convincing personality, and I guess they're scared. Like, they're really scared because of what the government is doing, but you can't, they can't, like, direct their energy where it really belongs, so they're, like, misdirecting it to Ben, maybe, right?
I think Egan by himself, I mean, he's very brash. He's not really charismatic, but he's brash. And he almost bullies people into it. With the combination of Adrian, it makes more sense. Because Adrian, you know, is very calm and collected and tells this story. Which, by the way, I've never heard that story about Noah, how he prayed to God and said people are worthless and come get rid of them. Like, is that a real thing? I'm assuming it's a real thing. I mean, they've been very
I'm not familiar with that part of the story. I did actually, like...
Well, I got to believe that's not a Christian version. So it's not a Catholic version.
Yeah, that's some sort of interpretation of it. That he was like, people suck, God. Please come and annihilate them. And so then God is like, okay, build an ark, get ready. And then... You know, I know there's a story that, like, Noah, when the ark lands, Noah gets drunk because he's, like, really, he's really traumatized about what he's been through and maybe because of what it cost. I don't know. But so anyway, I guess that whole thing, you know, the whole thing at Vance's house, you know, works out and they save his son. But, like, part of that was... Part of that is because of Egan and his henchmen there, which is funny because they spend the whole episode, like, trying to, like, whip everybody up, but only two of them go in the end. And Egan, you know, while Egan talks a good game, Egan really doesn't want that child to be killed. Like, Egan's a bad guy, but Egan apparently draws the line at, like, murdering innocent teenagers,
which is where it should be drawn.
Which is good. Egan's not like, Egan is an unlikable, sort of detestable character, but he's better than the guy that was just like, let's kill this kid. Seeing really drive to the whole Jared and Michaela thing by the end of it, right? Because, of course, Michaela's always there at every crime scene. I did feel, so it was nice how they tied that all together. The Jared and Michaela thing, I felt that Jared's anger at Michaela through most of this episode was really, like, misplaced and overwrought. No. Like, he's so mad at her. The force, and he's like, I'm sick of helping you, and you need to stop asking me to help you, and blah, 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 and I can't. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a little, like, why now, Jared? You've, like, for 3 years entertained all of her callings and tried to help her and believed her, and now suddenly you're a dick this week.
Well, kind of find out at the end of the episode why he's being a dick.
Yes, you do. You do find out. Kind of made sense, and, I mean, it did make sense, right? Like, I think we believed all along that he's still in love with her. And he finally came out and said what we all thought at the end of last season, that he only attended that wedding because Zeke was supposed to die within, like, 3 days after the wedding, right? Zeke wasn't supposed to live. And I mean, when he says it, it's a little bit like, oh, no, you didn't just say that, Jared, did you? Like, he said it.
Yes,
but
he did.
But it was a little tempered by his
like, he's supposedly in love with the major's daughter, whose name is, I don't know, Lisa, Susan, whatever her name is, I forget. And
yeah, something like that.
He's supposedly in love with, like, he fell really hard and fast for her. First inkling that it wasn't real was when, like, you know, Jared's so mad at Michaela for when he finds out about Fonvi. And you think that Jared's like, I'm a cop, I'm a good cop, you're a bad cop, how could you do this, how could you not, we're cops, blah, blah, blah. But then he says, I can't believe you put me in this position, I have to break up with her now. Why? Because
yeah.
I would have to lie to her for the rest of my life. Like, what? Like, you're not going to turn Fonvi in. You're pissed because you're going to keep, like, you're in love with Michaela and you're friends with Fonvi, so you're just going to keep the secret forever and that's why you have to break up with her. What? Right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that speech kind of blew me away a little bit, right? Like, I'm like,
I mean,
oh,
he was
so
being,
he
was being a little melodramatic about the whole thing, but I, at the same time, it's funny because I get it, because he's not going to turn Fonvi in, you know, because he's not going to go against Michaela like that.
I know,
so,
but
yes.
He's all like
so,
mad
yes,
at her for not being a good cop, and then he's like, whatever, I'm going to be like he's. Like, he never questions, like, the bad copness of it all. He's just like, all right, I can't date this girl anymore. Because I'm going to keep your secret forever. Because he's in love with her. Like, that, even before he declared, that's
yeah.
why, right? He hasn't declared his love yet, but that's why.
Actually, I think that's the moment when she's like, what are you talking about? And that's the moment when he's like, he wasn't supposed to survive.
I mean, he actually says, like, you're the love of my life. And, like, I only stood up
yeah.
at that wedding because he wasn't supposed to live. Now, Zeke was at – was Zeke at the scene? No, Zeke wasn't at the scene.
Yes. Zeke was feeling whatever
was
going on there.
Yeah, Zeke was at the scene because Zeke was, like, totally feeling, like, the emotions of the bad guys inside. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Zeke Jared before, and maybe he didn't say anything, or although he says he can't turn it off and on, he only gets vibes and facts, right?
Right.
Thing is, so do you think that, I mean, we've talked about this, did Michaela only marry Zeke because he was going to die? Not only, but,
no.
you know, I mean, they were in love, but it's easy to make that decision when you think your marriage is going to be 3 days, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right? Like, do you think she still loves – I mean, I think she still loves Jared, too.
I think she loves – I don't think it's romantic love anymore. I think they're beyond that, or at least she is.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared destroyed his marriage for her. So he's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
What's another relationship?
Yeah. I mean – I don't know. I feel like she's kind of still in love with him, but it wasn't going to work out and she was moving on. But, like, okay, so I'm not saying she doesn't love Zeke. I guess I'm saying, would she have married him at that moment if he wasn't going to die? Or would they just still be dating right now if he hadn't been about to die?
Probably just dating. I don't know if they get married right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you don't think she has those kind of feelings for Jared?
I don't think so. I think it's complicated. How about we leave it at that?
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's complicated.
And like, can Zeke read it? And Zeke's been pretty understanding of Jared for a long time. So.
Yes.
I mean.
But you know what I really appreciated was the scene when Jared shows up at the house in the middle of the night, and I thought Zeke handled it wonderfully. You know, he's like,
oh,
you know
yeah.
what time of night it is, but then I really felt like he really handled it well to where he was like, all right, you have to go now. Like, he heard him out, and then he was like, all right, we'll deal with this later. Like, enough.
Yeah,
I thought that was handled really well.
He is kind of the most reasonable person on the show, right? He's very even keeled. He's very diplomatic. He knows how to handle people. He you're right. He handles it really well. And then he was like, "You gotta go, time to go." And you know, Jared did. Of course, so while I like that, and I'd like to see where all that's going between them, and it's interesting because I had really, we've talked about this before where I was like, okay, this love triangle's over, let's put it behind us, not interested in it. And now it sort of is like becoming interesting again. I mean, probably because of Zeke's sixth sense, but it's all overshadowed by, go ahead.
No, I think it's interesting because it's not all up in your face like it was before. Before, it was very at the forefront, and I think and Jared was crazy every week, and there was no way Michaela's going to pick Jared because he's friggin' psychotic. I think now that they're all in a friendly-ish place, I think it makes it more intriguing because he's not mainly because Jared's not crazy anymore. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what makes it intriguing.
Because he's more likable when he's not crazy. And you can see, like, what she saw in him, what she sees in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what's going to happen is that, so we have this crazy, crazy ending, and I just feel like Jared is going to be the investigating officer into the crazy-ass ending of Grace's murder. And I thought about you a lot.
Did you think AJ is excited? You were thinking AJ must be really happy right now.
I thought AJ must be really happy right now because she's dead. But I also thought, like, God, we've hated her for so long, and I actually kind of feel a little bit sorry for her. Not sorry that she's gone, but sorry for her and the whole family to be, like, suddenly killed in a scene that came kind of out of left field. Like, I'm not surprised that Angelina kidnapped that baby. Like, we saw that. We saw that coming, right? That's been telegraphed for a while. But that she would stab Grace to do it.
Well, let me break this scene down for you, actually, for me.
Please.
Once I realized where it was going, when she was talking to Adrian, and, you know, and you see the flashback of her and her angel, I was like, I knew where she was going. I was like, oh, she's going to get that baby. And
I need my guardian
angel.
You know,
the way they pieced that scene together was really brilliant. Like the editing department, like the way they cut that scene in, I thought it was done really well because the first one they show is Olive. And I immediately, I went, oh, hell no. I was very fearful that Olive was about to die.
Olive.
I thought she was going to kill Olive. And I was not happy. Once I saw where Olive was and where she was going, I went, oh, Grace is done. It's a wrap for Grace. And honestly, it's actually really funny because I don't hate Grace nearly as much as I used to. She's still not my favorite. Yeah. She still has those moments where I want to smack her. But I got to say, I was Team Grace all the way when they went to get Cal. Like, I loved seeing Grace stand up to that doctor and telling her where to stay.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. I loved that scene. So I was actually, you know, there was a part of me that was a little sad to see Grace go, believe it or not.
And I mean, sad for Ben, kind of. Sad for Olive, definitely. I mean, sad for Cal if he was alive, right?
What do you mean if Cal is alive? Cal found her body.
Well, Cal blooped in and blooped like grown-up Cal, 17-year-old Cal, right?
All,
so Cal,
all grown
that's
up.
The Cal, that's how old he would be if he never disappeared, same age as Olive.
Exactly.
Right? That's like...
Yes. Yeah, him and Olive are finally the same age again.
Yeah.
Which I can't
wait
to hear the explanation
again.
For this
one. He's not back. He's gone. He blooped out again. He didn't stay.
Did he? No,
he blooped out again.
No, the scene ended with him holding her.
And then he blooped, didn't he? I think he blooped.
I'm going to have to look again, but I don't think so.
All right. I'm going to pull up this little article while we're talking about it. But he bloops in. So when Cal disappeared from the Tailfin, he said something like, this is how it has to be, and I'll see you again, Mom. Don't worry about it, right? Like,
yeah, he said, I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, right? And he said, like, oh, no, so it's after when she's dying, he says, this is how it has to be, right?
You know, what that's he says that during the calling when he's talking to Ben.
And he says,
he's like, I'm sorry, Dad, this is how it has to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Dad, this is how it has to be. So he, like, I guess he had a calling that told him this was going to happen, or he, like, I don't know. It's so hard to understand what, there's so many, like, who came back. Is it alternate, like, plane dimension count? Like we don't know what's going on, right?
No, not in the least.
And it's kind of also not clear in the least, like, how much did Cal know all along? Like, because all along Cal's been saying to Angelina, oh, you're here to help me. I believe we have to do this together, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I always thought it meant they were in it together and that she was helpful and good. Like, while everybody else is against Angelina, he's like, oh, you're good. But did Cal just know that
he believed they were connected
to die and it had to happen this way?
I don't think he knew that. I don't think he knew that at all. But he did say, you know, he believed that they were connected. He could feel they were connected, and well, they were. They were connected to the end of Grace.
In a bad way, like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't think it was a good way.
Well, I just, like, so did Cal misunderstand his calling, or did Cal know more that he hasn't let on?
They all misunderstand their callings all the time.
Well, yeah, okay, fair. Totally fair. I just, you know, when he appeared and he was 5 years, I thought he blooped away at the end, but I could be wrong. You think he's staying.
I'm looking right now.
Like, he's
back. I'm looking right now. He's,
all right.
I'm watching him cry and hug her dead body on the floor. It's panning out and fade to black. Yeah, he's still there.
Okay. So he
Oh, and then, oh, yeah. No, he didn't disappear. It faded to black and went to the, back to the Eureka.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, well, and, so here's another question. Does that mean Cal beat the death date and he gets to, and if it, like, but see, when Zeke beat his death date, he didn't get older, but Zeke's death date was only 3 months, right? Well, everybody else aged 5 years if they beat their death date, but I thought you'd only beat the death date on the death date. So, like, what? Like,
maybe,
yeah. There's so
Cal was given a gift sooner because of the sacrifice he made and everything he did for the callings. I don't know.
So he seems to be kind of okay with his mother being murdered.
You seem pretty upset. he seemed pretty upset about it.
But he said, like, this is how it has to be. Which, I mean,
yeah,
what does that
but,
mean? That could mean what
I don't
happened
know.
Happened, and
but,
there's
but,
no way to
but,
change it.
But here's the messed up thing. See, here's the, you know, this getting into this whole, I don't even know where to go, how to go with about this. Like, they died and came back. If they hadn't come back, Grace lives and, you know.
Yeah.
They have to redeem, you know, why does Grace have to die for the A2Aters to redeem themselves? I mean, think about this a second. Angelina just sank the lifeboat, didn't she?
Yeah, she murdered an innocent person.
Yeah.
So that she could
kidnap
her baby. Like,
she's an A2Ater that just tanked the lifeboat. So how do you redeem yourself on that one? Like, how, yeah, you know what I mean here? Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure how this is going to go.
I agree with you that she's just insane. And I read somewhere today, somebody was saying, like, if the show is about, like, having to do good in order to save yourself and about faith and stuff, is she, like, does she just represent evil? like, I mean, she doesn't maybe know she's evil or think she's evil, but is she a force of darkness or a force against them or
which is ironic,
something,
considering that's what they were saying Ben was.
Right? And they're, like, at the wrong person, maybe. So you mentioned that it cuts to black, and then we see this very brief scene where the pilot appears in the cockpit. He appears to Gupta, and he says, help me, help me. And then he and the entire plane disappear.
Here's my question, because I don't remember. Didn't the pilot die in that episode?
Yeah.
Or
they were doing
he died, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they were doing some tests, right? Some sort of experiment.
Yeah.
And he died, right? Yeah. Because he came back along with the rest of them.
Was, yeah, he was.
And then,
yeah, because he was all messed up. And Ben, you know, he was one of the first episodes of season one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't remember what his outcome was. I'm pretty sure he died originally. That's why I was kind of like, which means, hey, maybe, who knows? Maybe Grace is sacrificed. If everything goes the way it's planned, she comes back to life too.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, if he can reappear and he's dead, which you know, begs a further question, like, did he come from heaven? Did he come from an alternate dimension? Like,
well, yeah.
What did he want help with? Like, where did he come from? And then the whole plane disappears. Like, so it seems increasingly clear that this plane is not supposed to be back in the world where it is. But the tail fin wants to disappear. Now the plane disappeared. Like, the plane does not want to be back.
Yeah.
But characters aren't
disappearing.
So I don't know. I mean, there's so much. Like, this was such a huge, huge episode. And to cancel the show, what, like 12 hours later after it airs? It's just crazy.
Oof.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I wonder if NBC had been planning to cancel it all along, but didn't want to kill the ratings for the last few episodes by canceling it. So they held the announcement, maybe.
Do you know what the worst part about it is? And I know NBC doesn't give two shits about these numbers, but on Netflix, ever since it premiered, it's been number one on Netflix since it premiered. Now, is it going to sustain that? Probably not. But when you think,
oh my God,
look at all these people that are clamoring to watch, you know, the first two seasons of Manifest. And we're going to cancel it. And the numbers weren't awful. I mean, yes, they were on the bubble, but the numbers weren't awful.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't understand it.
It's only been on Netflix a couple of days, so whatever. But I do think that people who discover seasons 1 and 2 and 3 on Netflix might come back and watch season 4 live.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, do you get to... Like, I don't know who gets the – when you sell the rights to Netflix, I don't know if NBC gets the money or if Warner gets the money, but, there's money to be made in selling it into streaming, right? Like, and just to cancel it, like, less than 24 hours after it airs is just brutal. Like I think maybe they were planning to drop the axe and didn't want to, like – I don't know. It's crazy.
I am so baffled. After that, I mean, I absolutely – I mean – it just, the episode was so good overall. I mean, and that ending, it was really, really good. I mean, I've never had, I can't remember the last time I had an hour of television where I'm, or 2 hours of television, where every 5 minutes I'm going, holy shit, what the fuck? Oh my God. You know, like.
Yeah. And came back so good after a bad season last year, right?
Like, this is season one is still pretty good. Season 3 is absolutely the best season of this show so far. The only thing that gives me hope, I mean, normally when they cancel one of our shows like this and we really liked it and everything, we're like, that's it, no more. But you know what? I feel kind of good simply because of, what's his first name? Jeff Rake?
Jeff Rake, yeah.
It is Jeff, right? I feel good because usually the creators of the shows, when they get canceled, they're like, oh, well, you know, we had a good run and we were hoping, you know, that they would get picked up. But he was pissed. I read his tweet. He was pissed. He was like, I can't believe they, you know, we're halfway through. Because he actually had a six-season arc. And he's like, we're halfway through. And he's like, the fans deserve an ending.
He's
like,
shocked. He's shocked.
Yeah.
He thought they were going to get picked up.
Yeah. 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 But the fact that as soon as he was told they were being canceled, like, it wasn't even announced by NBC. It actually came – his tweet is how people found out that it was canceled. It wasn't even NBC saying, hey. Like,
that's right.
But as soon – I guess as soon as he found out NBC canceled them, he got on the phone. He's already started talking to other networks. You know? So, I mean, and that's the only reason I actually feel confident and hopeful that it's going to happen. You know, I kind of have the same feeling that I had when, The Expanse. When The Expanse was canceled by Sci-Fi, I had hope. The reason I had hope was because I knew the CEO of Amazon. I knew he was a huge fan, and I'm going, he's got to pick it up. He's going to pick it up and put it on Prime, and then he did. So I knew, I feel like Jeff Rake's passion for this show and his tenacity, I think somebody's going to give him a chance just because of him. He's going to sell the idea that three more seasons is going to make somebody some money.
Well, I think, I don't know the TV business, but I think you better chance when, in this case, I believe it's Warner Brothers, that's the production company, and they sold it through to NBC. So because NBC doesn't own it is why there's a chance of, you know, that property, they can sell it to somebody else. And, like, you know, I don't think we'll find out soon, like, Netflix, well,
no,
they have to wait and see how it performs, right? They have to wait and see how it performs.
Right.
Do people keep watching it? I mean, in this case, I think the headlines keep saying, you know, NBC cancels number one show on Netflix. I think it will keep curiosity for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'll make people want to watch it. I think it'll take a while.
But that's the other thing, with it being owned by Warner Brothers, if I read it correctly, somebody at Warner Brothers is excited to see what happens next. So, I mean, being that it's Warner Brothers, it could end up on the CW for all I care. You know?
Yeah.
As long as it gets somewhere. The only problem with going to the CW, I wonder what happens to their budget. But
and there's not enough teenagers. On the other hand, if it goes to Netflix, it might come down to 10 episodes, but they'd spend a little more money on those 10 episodes. Because, let's face it, this is a show where the special effects are not always very great.
Well, yeah. And special effects aren't a huge part of the show. I mean, they're an important part of the show, but they're not as big as, you know, something like The Expanse, where it got better because of it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is only a 10 episode show to begin with, you know? So it's not like it's a 20 season show that they want to cut in half.
Yeah. It is disappointing to see it be canceled when it seems to be peaking creatively.
Yes.
Right? And the numbers were not okay. It was on the bubble. It was on the bubble, but NBC had four shows on the bubble. They've now canceled three of them, and the only one remaining is something called Good Girls, which I've never heard of before and know nothing about.
Oh God, I think that's about the three women and their bank robbers or something. But they leave, you know, they like lead ordinary lives, like they're stay at home moms or something. They like have careers or something, and they rob banks on the side.
Never heard of it.
I think.
Never heard of it.
I've never seen it, but I've seen commercials for it. Something like that.
Yeah. NBC, man. Yeah, we'll see if they save that one show. Maybe they're just cleaning house. But, yeah, it's disappointing to see it canceled while we're all still, like, talking about what happened. I mean, I think they were planning to drop the axe, and they were just waiting for it to run the episodes out so they wouldn't, like,
lose their advertising dollars on a canceled show. I have a cynical view of what may have happened.
Well, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
So, all right, well, So we cross our fingers and hope that it comes that, you know, I mean, this will put a delay on it, but we cross our fingers and hope somebody picks it up.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed this season.
Yeah,
I mean, any season where I don't complain about Grace as much as I used to is a win.
Oh, my God. Any season where, I mean, I can't remember a show that we hated so much and then it turned it around and we came to, you know, like it again. I'm trying to think of a show this.
I mean, maybe for you, I never hated the show. I felt like
it was bad.
Enjoyed season one. I remember you were very unhappy with a lot of stuff, like Ben and Michaela in season one. I remember every week you did not like either one of them.
Well, I didn't like the show when it started. In the first few episodes, the first 1, 2, 3 episodes, I was like, oh, you guys, I don't think I'm going to watch it. I don't like it. I'm not going to stick with it. I didn't like it at first. And then I came around to it a little bit. But, yeah, there were some bad, bad, bad moments where I was
there was a couple bad ones. And season two wasn't as strong as season one. But season three, I feel, has knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and they're really finally getting somewhere with the mystery seems to about to reveal a couple things, and boom, canceled. I don't know why I ever watch a show on NBC ever, really. They've disappointed me so many times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, this means that next week we have only Van Helsing, I think, unless some new stuff comes on in the next few days.
Yes, that is all you have.
All right.
Which means either we take a hiatus or you guys are on your own next week.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come back and just do that show, I think, because this is the final season of Van Helsing. There's only a couple episodes left. I think there's only, 5 episodes left. So I guess we'll come back and we'll talk about it, even if it's just for a short show. But hopefully some new things will maybe come on TV soon. So... I mean, it's that time of year. It's the slow time of TV.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So, all right. Well, it's
all
right,
about
the end of the show, huh?
Yeah, we actually extended it because I didn't think we were going to make it, but we somehow did.
And here we are.
Well,
1 minute over. All right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will not be on, so you'll have to just deal without me.
All right.
We'll think of something else. I'm talking about the audience, how they're going to miss my opening.
They are. Your opening is the highlight of the show. It's all downhill after that.
We're going to have to find something that's good to watch.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We will.
All right.
I'll come up with some ideas.
Talk to you soon. Have a good
week.
Night.
Bye.
You too. Bye.